one might observe, Doctor, that if we are presently manipulating the weather, we're really doing a rotten job. Because look at what's happened this year. Hurricane after hurricane after hurricane. If we could move them, you'd think we'd have done it.
Yeah, and, you know, here's the thing about all that. And there's been a lot of speculation about, you know, what's going on with weather systems. But what is happening on kind of an ad hoc basis is this sort of experimentation within the boundaries of these treaties. But, you know, the idea is you can't localize weather to political boundaries because, you know, weather flows where the currents go, and that has nothing to do with lines we draw on a map.
Now, a sensitive question. Do you suppose, Doctor, that if they felt they had it within their power, with HAARP or whatever else they've got up their sleeves these days, to increase or manipulate the size or intensity or even direction of a hurricane, that they would they go ahead and do it? Would they take the risk? Would there be nobody there to say no?
Well, yeah, let me put it this way, is when you start looking at all these kinds of technologies, you can go back to some of the writings of guys like Zbigniew Brzezinski when he wrote Between Two Ages, and he talked about weather manipulation. He was, you know, national security advisor to President Carter later in his career. But in the early 70s, you know, he basically said, look, you know, all these things were going to come about. Weather modification issues were in that, as well as, you know, a lot of other technologies that have eventually come to pass. But, you know, he said basically the temptation to use them, you know, would probably outweigh any good sense.
The temptation to use them would outweigh any good sense.
Yeah, and that's, I'm paraphrasing a bit, but, you know, the idea of these technologies being utilized, I mean, there's a lot of salivating in military circles about controlling a battle environment. I mean, think about waging a covert war where you either create drought conditions or flooding conditions for sustained periods of time and the effect on populations, and you know, you can see the advantage of being able to do that when you want to wage a war without announcing it. And our government's been fairly well known for that over the last, you know, 50 or 60 years in any case.
Well, do we have any idea of how far we've come? I assume that if there were weather modification technologies that are presently working, we wouldn't say one word about it. So we don't really know how far we've come. There's been this great giant silence about this. We just don't hear about the black projects that are trying to control the weather, so we have no idea how far they've come or haven't, right?
No, we can only see the tip of the iceberg because there's only small references. I mean, there's one paper, it's called Weather as a Force Multiplier Owning the Weather by 2025. And
right.
You know, that's an Air Force document. There's, you know, there's other references that can be pointed to, you know, that really kind of lay a foundation. But the idea, you know, and then you look at the legislation. There's a Senate Bill 517 and a House Resolution 2995, and both are to establish weather modification operations and research board in the United States. And this is for looking at civilian and military applications of weather modification.
Well, I was, you know, I mean, if you look at the recent hurricane damage, we have been damaged probably beyond the wildest expectations of any terrorist out there right now.
Sure.
I mean, they couldn't have done a better job.
Right, exactly.
So could this be being used against us? Is there the possibility, for example, that other countries have not been so much adhering to this treaty, and they've plowed ahead, and they've caused some of this?
Sure, and the other part of it is not everybody signed on. You know, there's only 60 countries.
What about the Chinese?
No, I don't know that they are signed on, actually. I know the Russians are. But the point is, when you start talking about weather modification, you know, somebody had blamed the Russians in the case of Katrina, and they got all offended by it. You know, but at the same time, they acknowledged their own program.
Somebody did blame the Russians?
Yeah, it actually it came out. Some American meteorologist, Scott Stevens, actually did, and Pravda then, you know, responded with a story in September 30th this year, 2005. People can look it up, and it's USA and Russians supposedly developed secret meteorological weapons. American meteorologist Scott Stevens is recently wrote.
And they and Pravda responded.
Oh yeah, yeah. It was a story.
And what did they? No, we didn't, or what?
Yeah, it was kind of like that, and it was saying, you know, that it was referencing back to you remember Zhirinovsky talking about these really wild weapons that they had that they could create floods in America and do all this stuff by just changing the gravitational fields of the planet slightly. This is exactly what Pravda quotes within this article, which is exactly the kind of stuff that we're talking about when we're talking about HAARP, is you're manipulating it slightly, but that slightly has a the butterfly effect, if you will, a small input, big output. You know, but if you
well, that's a whole thing about HAARP, isn't it? Small.
Yeah.
Isn't that exactly what they intend with HAARP?
Yeah.
A small, relatively small input,
yeah.
And then a spreading domino effect or butterfly effect or whatever you want to call it.
Right. But it's actually is using kind of the equation. I think we used it once when you and I have talked about this. It's just like dominoes stacking them up from wherever you are all the way to Paris, you know, and you increase them in size a little bit each time, so by the time you get to Paris, you got one the size of the Eiffel Tower, and you can kind of flick the first one with a half an ounce weight, you know, and then by the time it gets to the Eiffel Tower, you know, you crush the Eiffel Tower with this giant domino. Now, it wasn't a little half ounce weight that got discharged, it's a gravitational energy that got picked up along the way. So think about HAARP as picking up energy from the ionosphere along the way, if you will, and then being able to manipulate that for very specific uses. Now that's where you get this incredible multiplier effect because the ionosphere has more energy potential than everything generating on the planet at once.
Well, Doctor, do you remember in many previous programs, HAARP was originally kind of more of an open... what's the way to put this?
That's what they said, but remember, how many times have they taken up the invitation to come on and have a chat about it, you know?
True. Now, since then, it has become far blacker, in DARPA's hands, for goodness sakes.
Yeah.
And what do you think the odds are now of getting any viable, real information out of them?
Pretty much slim
and none, huh?
Yeah. But here's what shows up. You know, this is interesting. Some of the other branches of the military occasionally, in trying to justify their programs, have made reference to HAARP. For communications and communication disruption, there's something that shows up in the Army literature. There's something that shows up on Army literature dealing with weather modification, as an example.
Uh-huh.
And there was a follow-on paper done by Dr. Eastland, the inventor of the HAARP system, for the European Space Agency on knocking out the energy in tornadoes, and then also one done using HAARP systems for that, and then one done for NASA and FEMA, interestingly enough, a few years back, for knocking out the energy in tornadoes using a laser or a space-based system for accomplishing the same kind of thing by being able to manipulate heat energy